Hello, my name is Jenna Marr, and today I am going to do a quick introduction of my podcast, Psyche. I'm recording today without my co-host, Terrence, because the things that I'm going to talk about are a little more personal to me, and I felt more comfortable talking about them on my own. Before we get started, I'd like to explain how this podcast will work. Every other episode, including this one, will be mental health focused, while the others will primarily contain myself and Terrence discussing more fun things like books, movies, games, and shows. If the episode contains sensitive topics, I will put TW for trigger warning in the description with a brief summary of the topics discussed in that episode. It should be noted that neither Terrence nor I are mental health professionals, and you should not think of us as such. If you are struggling in any way, please contact a mental health professional. I was very motivated to create this podcast because I know a lot of people my age, including myself, that struggle with mental health. It's a problem and I wanted to talk about it. I'm not exactly qualified to talk about it in the way that a therapist is, but I think it's important for ordinary, unqualified people to share their experiences. It helps us know that others are experiencing similar things, and sometimes hearing your own thoughts vocalized is so important. When I told my parents that I was struggling with mental health and when I was diagnosed with clinical depression and social anxiety, they thought that they had failed. To this day, whenever I am struggling and they notice, or if I tell them, they feel guilty and they blame themselves. Unfortunately, it's not that simple. We are past the point of blame. While it's important to reflect back on our pasts and understand which experience shaped the way we see the world, it's also important that we continue to move forward instead of looking at our actions or other people's actions and saying, oh, well, it's fine because in 2002, my head got stuck in a tuba, so now I have anxiety. That we say, I know why I did that, and I know why I feel this way, but how should I handle this in the future? Now, while looking back in the past isn't always productive, it can be sometimes. And on that note, I'd like to share some of my own experiences. I have had some form of depression and social anxiety for as long as I can remember. The longest period of depression that I endured was about 2 years long, from my freshman to sophomore year in high school. I still occasionally go through depressive episodes, but fortunately, they only last a couple weeks at most. My social anxiety, on the other hand, is still raging to this day. Ordering food in a restaurant still takes a whole lot of courage. Making a phone call is still intimidating, and I still have to rehearse what I'm going to say before I say it. And sometimes I stutter. Every time I do something, though, every time I make that phone call, order the food in the restaurant by myself, it gets a little easier. I was actually getting a lot better before the pandemic because I had a lot of experiences. I was going out, doing things, making friends. I was in college and life was good. I was self-sufficient. And then the shutdown happened and we're literally encouraged to do the opposite of what I need to do to help my social anxiety, which is to not talk to people, not see people, not go out, do things, not to sit in a restaurant. Luckily, the phone call thing is still around, but for the most part, the pandemic has completely halted any progress of my social anxiety. Now, back in high school, everything turned around when I was about 16. The summer before my junior year of high school, I met a girl who I'll call Ava. Ava was one of the sweetest people I had ever met. We played tennis at the same club, and we were grouped into the same skill level, so we saw each other about 2 times a week that summer. She tried really hard to be my friend, and I think if I had been less depressed and less socially anxious, I would have been more equipped to be her friend. In any case, August came around and we parted ways for the girls' tennis season. In November, I learned that she had taken her own life. There were a lot of things that I felt and thought around that time, the primary one being that I should have tried harder to be her friend. Looking back, I know that that quite literally wasn't possible for me at the time. But the guilt kind of tore me up. At Ava's funeral, her family completely swept the suicide part of her death under the rug, and all that was said was that she had passed away in her home on November 3rd. Which is fine. It's fair. It was just disappointing. Since Ava and I didn't go to the same school, I didn't know anyone else that I could talk to about her. No one knew her, and at the same time, no one seemed like they knew what I was experiencing. It didn't seem like anybody else had lost someone to suicide, or at least no one that I was able to talk to. And that is a very stark contrast to January 2018, just a few months later. On January 21st, my classmate Peyton Young went missing. The police found her car by the river, and in the river they found suicide notes on her phone as well as a Safari page pulled up on how to hold your breath underwater. But they couldn't find her body. For about a month, everybody was posting pictures of her, begging her to come home, begging others to report sightings. And there were a lot of reports. Someone saw her at Walmart, someone saw her smoking with her friends in a parking lot at a nearby school. Someone claimed that she had shaved and bleached her hair. None of these added up to anything, and a month later, they found her body in the river. They declared her death on February 21st. At her funeral, they were very upfront with what had happened. It was too late to sweep it under the rug anyways, since the whole process had been highly publicized. But what I found interesting was the religious aspect of the experience. I attended a Catholic school from age 3 to 17, and all my life the religion teachers had taught us that if you committed suicide, you would go straight to hell. I'm not sure if that's a scare tactic or the whole mindset that you would be rejecting the most beautiful gift that God gave you, but regardless of the intention, it is slightly damaging to think that way, which is why Peyton's funeral was so interesting. The clergyman who did the funeral said that Peyton was sick, that it was her depression, and as such, she would not be condemned to hell, which is, in my opinion, a step in the right direction for the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church tends to have the most antiquated beliefs and rules, and the idea that they might start updating them to fit with today's society is a good sign to me. It was interesting experiencing Peyton's death because I was part of the community. I had seen Peyton around a couple of times, but I wasn't friends with her, didn't really talk to her, didn't reach out because social anxiety and depression and all that stuff. But I saw my classmates experiencing the same thing that I had just experienced. Because Peyton was popular. She had lots of friends. She seemed to have a good life. And it was a shock. The reason I share these stories is for you to understand why we should be motivated to talk more about what's happening in our world. Mental health awareness has made some fair strides in the last several years, I think. But I think that the past year or so of living in a pandemic has somewhat overshadowed the topic. We need to keep a dialogue going about mental health so that people can get the help they need, the understanding they lack, and so we can all adjust our habits. My education on mental health in middle school and high school was relatively non-existent. I remember one or two times where they had somebody come in to talk about mental health and the signs of someone struggling and all of that. But no one took it seriously. And I suspect that that's because as kids, we weren't prepared to talk about something so heavy. And also because the videos that they showed us were really horrible. It was like the worst acting ever. Johnny says that he's gonna kill himself. What should Becky do? And then they have Becky and she's just like, I think I'll go to a trusted adult. And then she does. Which honestly is not realistic. I remember in eighth grade, one of my close friends was talking about hurting herself and wanting to die and all of that. And I didn't go to a trusted adult for a long time. I didn't think she was serious. And I think that that is something I regret. I regret thinking that she was just doing it for attention. Because now I understand that while that does happen, typically that shouldn't be your first assumption that someone's doing it for attention. If someone says they're going to kill themselves, you have to intervene in some way. And if they were doing it for attention, well, that can be dealt with. But always assume that if someone is talking about their mental health, it's a cry for help more than anything. It's something that needs to be dealt with. Because even if it is just doing it for attention, that in itself needs to be helped. But I remember in high school, we had one of the speakers come in and educate us on suicide and mental health. And they had, this was the year before Peyton died, actually. They passed around little slips of paper, and it just said, if someone you know is struggling, please write down their name and then give it to your teacher. And the worst part of that is everyone wrote down names of people that didn't actually need help because they thought it was funny. I mean, I think there are a lot of problems with that system to begin with, but the number one is that it allowed for the kids to not take it seriously. And I think that it's a very serious topic that, again, some kids are just not prepared to talk about, not prepared to handle. And so sometimes joking around about it relieves the tension. But kids tend to mock things. And so if they're trying to relieve the tension, they mock it. And then everyone else sees that and thinks, oh, it's not okay for me to take this seriously. Like, if I take this seriously, I'm a nerd or a geek or something. And it devolves from there. Which, basically, I just think the only way to educate children or teenagers on the topic of mental health is to share real-world experiences instead of crappy videos made in the 90s that are more or less irrelevant anyways. You have to talk about real things so that they know that, hey, this is a serious topic. This isn't something that you can take lightly. Because let me tell you, those videos from the 90s are pretty terrible, and I can kind of see why everyone was making fun of them. I won't lie. But in any case, I just want to provide a good environment or a place to go. And yes, this first little introduction was very heavy, and I'm very sorry about that. But I also just think that the more we talk about these things, the better they'll get. The less we'll have to talk about them. because I hope that someday there will be very few suicides. Because let me tell you, it's not an easy thing to have two peers kill themselves over such a short period of time. One of the worst parts, I think, was that there was a second kind of guilt. There's always the guilt that, oh, I could have done something more. I should have reached out. I should have known. I should have done something. And I think most people feel that if it's someone they know. But when it happened the second time, when Peyton killed herself, and I was surrounded by my peers who had just lost this person, I think what a lot of people were feeling, several that I know of thought this, and I know I thought it too, was it should have been me. It should have been me instead of Peyton. And knowing that that is a whole other kind of grief that is so common when these things are happening greatly disturbs me. It makes me sad. But I also know that opening up a dialogue about mental health and continuing it will hopefully help a lot of people. Knowing that it's okay to feel things that the world tells you it's not okay to feel. Knowing that it's okay to struggle or take things seriously, even when it seems like other people aren't struggling or other people aren't taking those things seriously, because someone out there does. Someone out there feels those things. Someone out there takes those things seriously, as they should. Thank you for listening. I am sorry that it got dark, but I also hope that it gives a good idea of our goal here on our podcast, of the community that we want to open up. Next week, Terrence and I will be talking about soul, which is a significantly lighter topic. So I hope you join us for that. Remember that everything will be okay.